the amount of blood that was shed from all of our soldiers who gave their lives, how much that would be. Heavy price. I was thinking about that as she was singing. Heavy price was paid that you and I might have the freedoms we have in America. Greatest nation on earth. It's got its problems. It's got its sinfulness. It has turned away from God. Needs to turn back to God. And that's what we should pray for. Revival in our nation. Starts in our own hearts. Amen. Be a Christian that's excited about God and the things of God. Be thankful. See? And let your light so shine that it might affect others. That we might have opportunity to share with them about Jesus. Because he paid the ultimate price. And experienced the agony of crucifixion. All for my sins and yours. So thankful for a loving, forgiving God. One of the most important days we celebrate in America is Memorial Day, the day that we remember. We remember those who have given the ultimate sacrifice for our nation's freedoms. Without their bravery, heroism, and sacrifice, our freedoms, and in truth, daily pleasures would not be possible. We owe them a lot. So tomorrow, we'll pause to remember with sincere gratefulness the great price that has been paid. Indeed, we do so today on this Memorial Sunday. And I think it's important why we have that segment in our worship service on Memorial Day Sunday. This morning, we're going to look at a particular memorial in the Bible. There are many memorials in the Bible. They represent the miraculous works of our God among his people throughout the ages. And the one we're going to look at is in Joshua chapter 4, chapter 3 and 4. If you will turn there this morning, we'll take a little time to read the scriptures. And I invite you to open your Bible. Perhaps you don't always, but I would encourage you to do so this morning. You might follow along as we read of this event that occurred. And the God-ordained, God-dictated memorial that was established. Remember, a memorial to remember. And in chapter 3 of Joshua, I begin at verse 1. The Bible says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan." That's the river. "He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over." So they came to the Jordan River and camped overnight. And not just one night. Verse 2 tells us, "And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it." So that's the cue. They pick up the ark of the covenant. They begin to move forward. Y'all get up and get ready to go. Verse 4. "Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that it may know, that ye may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way before." This is all new. The promised land. They spent 40 years in the desert, but now they're going into the promised land. You've not been here before. So follow the ark by this great distance, 2,000 cubits. That's about 10 football fields. And that was the distance they're supposed to allow before they would begin to follow. Verse 5, "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Verse 6, "And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people." Verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God." So now he's going to tell them what God has told him. Verse 10, "And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will, without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. I just wondered how you were going to do with that. All the ites. Verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. See, God goes before us. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribe of Israel, out of every tribe, a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. That's an amazing thing, but it's been done before by God in crossing the Red Sea. But the Red Sea had a wall on the right and had a wall on the left of water. This here was a river. And once you cut off this wall, there is nothing down here, the Jordan. Verse 14, and it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is, beside Zarethan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. Well, you see this when a dam is created. A high dam holds back the water, and then what's left is only what's allowed to leave. So there they were. 17, the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground. And notice, in the midst of the Jordan. So now they have moved from where they were, toes wet, but that's all, to dry. And it proceeded to the midst. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Dry ground. That should be noted. Miraculous. You know, it should have been muddy for several days or weeks, especially overflowing his banks. But God notes in the Word of God, this was miraculous, his hand. It was dry ground. Chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. So from the middle of Jordan, 12 men, one from each tribe of Israel, representing all of Israel, would gather a stone, and he'd carry the stone from the middle of the Jordan out to the banks, onto where it's Gilgal before they approached Jericho, and where you're going to lodge this night. Verse 4, then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man a stone upon his shoulders according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. In other words, 12 men for the 12 tribes, 12 stones for the 12 tribes. It represents all of Israel, God's people, whom God did this miracle for. 6, that this may be a sign among you. See, that sign, an emblem, a marker, a memorial, a monument among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye thee by these stones? What's this about? What's this pile of rocks about? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And we'll talk about this, do note, verse 9, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan. God hadn't told him to do that, did he? This was something extra. In the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. So there's 12 stones up there on the bank at Gilgal, but now there's 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan River as well. 10. For the priest which bear the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. I suppose if I got a wall of water there, I'm not just dilly-dallying either. I'm going to haste. Let's go. Kids, come on, let's go. 11. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. Remember, they had all the ites, those seven nations to conquer. Verse 14, on that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all the people. Remember, he said he was going to. He told Joshua, he'd given him these instructions, I'm going to magnify you in their eyes. And they feared him, as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the feet, priests' feet, were lifted up unto the dry ground, land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place, and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. That all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Now, we have read two chapters. We don't usually take that kind of time, but I think we needed to know what was going on here to address in a short message three particular points regarding a memorial. That's what was set up here. And we're going to talk about memorials. Number one, it's a reminder of the facts. Now, I don't know if you saw in the picture. You see it there. If you've ever gone to Arlington National Cemetery or flown into Reagan Airport and look out the window and see lines, over 400,000 interments. Those are memorials. They speak of the facts that all of these died defending our country. Those are memorials. Every one of them matters. And notice, none are bigger or smaller. They all represent the ultimate sacrifice that every single one paid. A memorial. And as we look back in chapter 4, verse 8, it says this, and the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Why? for a memorial, a reminder. So it's never forgotten, because they were told to instruct their children. When they ask, what's this pile of stones for? What does this mean? Dad, what are all those? Sunday represents all the soldiers that died, every single one of them. And the ministry will tell their children, these stones represent the great hand of our God, who brought us from the wilderness to the dry land. This was a direct, obvious, visible mound of raw stones. Each one was fairly large and heavy, yet not hewn or touched by human manipulations. Thus, it was a reminder of how God and God alone had brought them this far, providing supernaturally for them by giving them their own land. It was an established marker to remind them and subsequent generations of the unparalleled blessing of having God as their guide and protector. Those untouched, stacked stones reminded all that saw them of the incredible miracle of God in bringing his people into the promised land. It was a memorial for all of Israel, and indeed, according to verse 24, for all the people of the earth, that they might know the powerful hand of God. A memorial. A memorial is a reminder of the facts. Something occurred. Something happened. A notable event happened. We're to remember, never forget. It gave them national pride and confidence in God's hand. We can say the same thing about how God has protected and provided this nation, America, with our own land, miraculously defeating our enemies with victory. No way should these farmers and whatnot in this country could bring victory against Britain, against England, and it's all of its strength of its army and navy. And yet they did. It's a powerful hand of God. And yes, much blood was spilled. And we have memorials and monuments all over our country reflecting often those that gave their lives. They're a reminder of the facts. We're free today. It's a reminder. He did use men and women, selfless and courageous soldiers regarding America, whom we remember today. But it was not our military prowess that has made this country strong and safe. It's God's supernatural hand of protection and providence. That's a fact. A memorial is a reminder of the facts. Number two, a memorial is a reflection of faith. Now notice verse 9, chapter 4. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there unto this day. Remember the second set of 12 stones. That word and, verse 9, and. He did what God told him to do, and he set up 12 stones. This passage is often overlooked, sometimes maybe just neglected. Notice that Joshua had set up another 12 stones, just like the first. Yet it was in the middle of the Jordan River, where the priest's feet had stood. Who would ever see these stones? Joshua did that as a reflection of his faith. He knew that God's unseen hand, like the unseen stones that were there. They're not seen, but they are there. And God's hand is not always seen, but it is there. It was a reflection of his faith. He knew that God's unseen hand would continue to guide and protect, even though no one would see him. And no one sees God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We serve an unseen God. He's not limited to a physical containment. Just like those stones under the dirty, murky waters of the Jordan, there unto this day, verse 9 tells us, God continues to keep his promise to this day that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13:5. It's a promise. The stones were a constant reflection of their faith in what God had done and in what God would continue to do. Our faith also is in a God whom we cannot see, in his workings, power, and love from our eternal Heavenly Father. We can't see him. Like those stones, may our lives also reflect our faith in our God for all the world to see. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men." You are a living memorial to what God does, what he's doing, and what he has done in your life. And we're instructing the Word of God to let that memorial shine that others may see. And if they ask, "What's up with you? Why are you like the way you are?" Let me tell you. It's not because I'm some great guy. But I know and serve a great God. And you can know him too. And you can share Jesus with them. You're a living memorial. Again, a memorial. It's a reminder of the facts. It's a reflection of their faith. And number three, lastly, it's a reinforcement of the future. It's reinforcement. It's encouragement for the future. It's comfort for the future, knowing what it represents. You know, these Israelites were headed to war on three different fronts. The west, the north, the south, all these ites, the Amorites, the Girgashites, and Amorites, Canaanites, all of them, they're going to go to battle with them. And this memorial stood for the strength of God, what God had done, and reinforced their faith because of what they were headed to. The same God that brought us across on dry land is going to fight our battles for us. They needed that reinforcement. They needed that encouragement. And by the way, the same reinforcement and strength that we're to get from the Word of God in living our daily lives and facing the trials and tribulations that we face, that we might be reinforced. Many memorials are spoken of in the Bible, but the Lord's Supper is arguably the greatest. God determined this memorial practice to be a church ordinance, that it would memorialize the greatest sacrifice ever made. We noted that in today's text that it was highlighted by the phrase, "What do these stones mean?" And the answer was given in verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. What is our answer to the question, what do these elements of the Lord's Supper, you know, the unleavened bread, the wafer, the cracker, whatever, and the grape juice, what do they mean? What do they mean, Daddy? They're memorials, son. What do they mean? What are they calling us to remember? They represent the precious body and blood of Jesus Christ, sacrificed for all mankind. In 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul is correcting and instructing the Corinthian believers on the proper practice of the Lord's Supper, verse 24 to 26 says this, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it," speaking of Jesus, "and said, 'Take, this is my body.'" It was a memorial of that body that hung on the cross at Calvary, "which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Remember, a memorial. 25, "After the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Remember me. Remember my body and my blood that was given for you. "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Till he come. He's coming back. Reinforcement. We consider what occurred, price paid, but comfort, reinforcement, encouragement for the future. He's coming back. That should encourage you. Be faithful. Be faithful to read your Bible. Be faithful to pray. Be faithful to serve. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life." That's in the future. It's coming. Know it. It's for sure. We think about that when we observe the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. These elements, Dad, what do they represent? They represent the body and blood of Christ that was shed for you and I for the forgiveness of sins and an eternity in heaven. So we look forward. 1 Thessalians 4:16, 18 says this, before I close, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught to get up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Verse 18, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Encourage one another with these words. Reinforce one another with these words. Memorials are pretty important. It's a reminder of the facts. It's a reflection of faith. And it's reinforcement for the future. In this day in which we live, we need to encourage in ourselves and in our progeny, those that follow after us, a more grateful spirit. May we be a thankful people. Truly, memorials should bring you, should make you thankful. Yes, it brings sadness when you contemplate all that transpired for me to be free. Aren't you thankful? You see the cross, the Lord's Supper, the elements. Thankful. May we remember and be thankful for the sacrifices of those that have given their very lives for our freedoms in America. We honor them today, tomorrow in particular, Memorial Day in our nation. May we remember and be thankful for the sacrifice of a loving, providing, protecting God who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Much talk about memorials on this Memorial Day. We're talking about the physical representations that have a meaning, a purpose, monuments, memorials, and certainly those in the Bible. We address one today, one most in particular, at the Lord's table. But they all point to a truth, something we should always be thankful for and observe. We don't skip over Memorial Day, and never should we skip any day when it comes to our God. So I trust this morning with heads bowed, eyes closed, that as we consider memorials, our attention being drawn now to our God. You're to be a living memorial, are you? Do you live for Christ or do you live for self? Do you live for others or do you live for self? Memorial has nothing to do with of itself. 12 stones didn't do anything for itself. It's what they represented. And it's who you and I represent that matters, that gives you and I self-worth in this life. We're to be living memorials for our Savior. Maybe this morning the Spirit is talking to you, Christian, and saying to you, you've been a naughty boy. You've been so wrapped up in your own plans and agendas and what's important to you and what's not. You're to be my memorial. You're to represent me. Maybe this morning we'd say to God, "Lord, forgive me. I've not been letting my light so shine. I've been so consumed with self and not others, and particularly about telling others about Jesus. Help me, Lord. I make new resolve today, Lord, that I'm going to be a living memorial for my Savior." And friend, if you're here today, you're not saved. Can I tell you the memorials of the Word of God point to a God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, created the entire universe. And he created you and gave you life. And being that man has sinned and you became a man and therefore are a sinner like the rest of us, you need a Savior. Because a holy and righteous God will not allow sin into heaven. So he sent his Son to die on the cross, suffer. We spoke of him this morning, the body and blood that was shed for you. Yes, for you, for all your sins. Would you this morning tell God, God, I recognize from the Bible that I am a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You come very short of the glory and holiness of God. But God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This morning, would you say, dear God, I believe. I'm a sinner headed for hell, but I believe that you loved me. I believe, Jesus, that you gave your body and blood, your life, to pay the sin debt that I owe. I deserve the hell, but you afforded me heaven because you took my hell for me. Dear Jesus, forgive me and save me. Now, as the music is playing quietly, the piano's playing, the invitation's open. Christian, non-Christian alike.